ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Hope everybody got a little bit of rain last night. I know from here west and a little bit south, it seemed like there was a bunch of rain a couple of different times. So hopefully everybody within earshot today got a little bit of rain and hopefully some more coming by the time Sunday rolls around. So thank you to the good Lord. Because everyone knows we could use maybe even a little bit more than a little bit of rain, or a lot more than a little bit of rain right about now. It's been a while since that's happened. So it's a good morning here on the Skinny on Sports. Gary Patterson, you see this yet?
Yeah.
Gary Patterson's upset. Sweaty Gary is upset with SMU, and I do mean upset. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. College football, big week. Big week. Kind of one of those filter out the good teams from the bad weeks is not only in-state, but also all around the
country.
There's
a lot of good matchups.
There's a bunch of good matchups this week. We'll talk about those, kind of get a head start at talking about those. And then, man, a very interesting situation is brewing in the NBA with all the media days happening on Monday. There's a few certain spots that have different mandates, I guess, than the others, specifically Golden State and both of the New York teams. And they've got some players that are holding out as far as getting the vaccine for a bunch of different reasons, religious reasons and others, which could really impact what happens this season on the court in the NBA. So we'll get into that. Jonathan Isaac from the Orlando Magic was kind of painted in a bad light in a Rolling Stone article about, you know, painted as an anti-vaxxer. He had some thoughts on that and explained his position, which is just, I mean, when you hear it, no matter – it's not necessarily what he's saying, but the manner in which he says it, the manner in which he presents his thoughts on the subject, and you think, it's got to be run of the country. with that deep of thinking is what he's put into this. And then also, we have to go down to the Thunder. I mean, the protocols came out a couple of weeks ago as far as how to get into the arena. How much do you think that's going to affect the crowd? So we'll get into all of that. I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts on all these subjects as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area coming up and you want to stay in touch with the show live, a couple ways to do that. You can log on to kadsam.com. Just hit the Listen Live tab at the top, click the play button, and boom, you're live streaming us that way. Or you can do that through the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon with three radio stations here in Elk City. That is KECO, it's Cool 94, and us right here on KADS. The app also has the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Go check out all the free deals. And then today, you might still be able to get that 2-for-1 that we talk about some days. You can go rush out right now, pick up the print edition of what is now last week's Penny News, check out the deals in that. And then either this afternoon or in the morning, depending on where you live, you might be able to get a fresh copy of this week's Penny News. So a 2-for-1 here coming up on Penny News Shuffle Day, I guess you could call it, when the old ones shuffle out and the new ones shuffle in. We've also got the Big Elk TV and Paragon TV is in the app. So if you want to watch the football games coming up on Friday night, you're not going to be in the stands at either Bethany or up in Texoma. You can hang out with us on Big Elk TV, Paragon TV through that app. The Oaks in Bethany, Merritt is up at Texoma. Those games will start at 7 o'clock, and you can watch the live video stream there. Skinny on Sports podcast is available to you. If you missed the show entirely, go back and check it out on KADSAM.com. You can find us on iTunes. If you find us through iTunes, you might as well subscribe to the podcast, and then you'll be alerted when a new one drops each and every day. And, of course, it's also on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I can't post on there anymore because Zuckerberg says it's against their policy.
Because we have the word skinny?
I don't know. No, it says something to do that we're spamming people. Now we're providing another way for people to find us, but it will not let me post the link to each podcast, to each show. Thanks a lot, Mark.
I wonder what would happen if we had different opinions. Would we still be there on certain things? Like if we leaned further left, would it just magically reappear? Oh, never mind. You can be there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Big tech.
I did send in a... There is an option that says, I don't agree with this. So I sent it in and said, we're just a sports show. Yeah. How does this go against your standards?
Must have a listener in Zuckerberg. He doesn't like our opinions.
Apparently not.
Took us off. Oh, well. So guess what? Don't go find us on Facebook. That's fine. Find us on iTunes.
There is a link that we've tagged many moons ago that it stays on top. Like, you know, you could pin a post.
Yes.
Where it'll direct you to the podcast on our Facebook page. So still follow us on Facebook, please. But until we find a workaround, we just can't post the show daily on our Facebook page.
Then you just click the link and find it that way.
Yes. Or if you're just subscribed, it'll just alert your phone anyways, like you said.
That's right, on iTunes. That's the easiest way.
Yep.
That way, not if you forget, boom, it'll tell you. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
So did you get any rain last night?
A little. I didn't check the gauge or anything, but I heard it last night. I was in the garage watching a movie and I could hear it picking up, and woke up this morning and there's puddles everywhere. So yeah, we got some, but not as much as here. I checked the mezzanet. There's a lot. I mean, there's over an inch, I think, at the Elk City mezzanet site.
It had 1.1 at my house.
There you go. Mangum, man.
Mangum 2.9 almost, 2.87.
Their ponds are full. We all like, man, Southwest Oklahoma could always use that kind of rain.
Oh yeah.
All the time.
Kind of came up through the spots that needed it.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like you've got more rain than me.
You think?
Yeah. You come in. I come in puffing my chest at 1.2, and you'd go, "Oh well, that's funny." 2.3. I've also got a father-in-law who has a friend in Canute, which he lives out north of Sayre, and he always says that Canute gets more rain, according to one guy's gauge in town, just a hair west and south of you.
Does he own a butcher shop?
No. Nope.
Okay. Then I don't know who it is.
No, he doesn't own a butcher shop, but he likes to yell at basketball games.
Oh, that really narrowed it down.
That was Jared, not Aaron.
There are people that are proud to have that moniker.
Well, he may be the one leading with carrying the flag. Anyhow.
Oh, okay.
It's good that everybody got some rain. All right, so... it's totally interesting what's going on in the NBA because out at Golden State and then also for Brooklyn and for half inch between Elk and Canute there, right on Golf Course Road. So Golden State, Brooklyn, and the Knicks, they have completely different COVID protocols in place than everybody else in the league. And so right now at this point, anybody that's a member of those organizations, and specifically the players that we're going to talk about here, are required to be vaccinated in order to even enter the building, much less play in the game.
Okay.
And there are a couple of big names on a couple of these teams that, for one reason or another, do not want to do that. Andrew Wiggins... for Golden State, he applied to the NBA for the religious exemption from the vaccine mandate that's been put on him by the state of California. And the NBA declined that request. So at this point, he can't play in home games. Kyrie Irving is refusing it for whatever crazy reason that he's come up with in his crazy head. But at this point, he can't play home games for Brooklyn. And you think, okay, well, you know, anybody that's coming into town, they can't either. Wrong answer. Any opponent coming into any of these spots, all they have to do is have a negative test 48 hours before that game, and they can play. Now, they have to wear a mask on the bench when they're not, you know, in competition, but they did that all year last year. So it's really interesting what this is going to create in my mind. You know, if you're Brooklyn, and it's one thing to worry about the regular season, but, you know, Brooklyn and even Golden State to a certain level, especially if Klay Thompson is back as the Klay Thompson or some part of the Klay Thompson that we've known, you're talking about two teams that are going to be in the playoffs, Brooklyn for sure, and maybe Golden State, depending on how things shake out. You may also be talking about two teams that are going a long ways in the playoffs with guys that can't play home games in the playoffs at this point.
Right.
So does that make trade – I mean, Wiggins is one thing. I'm sure Golden State could trade Wiggins for something, and that would be that. But Kyrie Irving is a totally different animal. Would Brooklyn consider trading him to get, first off, that headache out of there, you know, in their minds, and then also because they know that they've got a guy that could be able to play, say, in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals on their home floor?
I think that's a reach, do you think, of them trading him just because he won't get the vaccine based on their rules? I don't know, man. I don't know if
these... I don't even know if it's just because he won't get the... Well, he can't play. What good is he to be on the team if he can't play home playoff games?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's...
I wonder if it would push, you know, if it came to that where he's missing home games and it's hurting the team, and then all of a sudden... I mean, who's the acting governor? Is she a Knicks or a Nets fan?
That's a great point.
Hey, you know what? We need to loosen up these rules.
Yeah.
We need Kyrie. And vice versa over, you know, is what's his name? Newsom, a Golden State fan. See what I'm saying? But my point is, seriously, is that I don't know how long these mandates in these states will last. You know, they're not set in stone, so I could see it where – it's the first part of the season, and then they're lifted because all of a sudden this thing is under control. So they're already showing signs of infection rate going down, hospitalizations going down, whatnot, da-da-da. My point is mandates aren't set in stone. So as far as when it comes down to, oh, man, we got 10 games left in the season, we need Kyrie, but he is in 10 of those games, 7 of them are at home. We need him. And he's not going to play, so let's get – I don't know. I mean, I just don't see him pulling the trigger. I think it's a little extreme is what I'm saying. I think they can sit on it as long as they can until these mandates change. And I say when they change because I think they will. I think they will.
I guess I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying. The only problem is where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
California and New York. Good luck that thought process changing.
No, I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be pretty interesting to see the governor of New York go, yeah, you know, Brooklyn's a different borough than, you know, like the Knicks. So, you know, Brooklyn, we'll raise that. While the Knicks and MSG, or the other way around. I mean, obviously that would be fantasy land.
If she wants to see the city of New York City burn to the ground,
it would be better to go the other way.
Yeah,
even though the team's better in Brooklyn.
The entire state. Not well. Brooklyn doesn't have to. I mean,
but can't you see it once the playoffs start? Let's say Brooklyn makes it and the Knicks don't, even though the Knicks were pretty good last year.
Yeah,
can't you see her saying, "Ah, well, you know, Brooklyn, it's okay."
Right. Absolutely, I can.
But I do think it's – I don't think that's happening, first off. And
no.
In the last 18, 19 months, tell me that that's not going to happen. Because you're talking about the two places that have been as stringent as anywhere else in the country when it has come to these COVID protocols from the very get-go. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't well-founded early. I mean, when you're talking about New York City, if there was a more – what we've learned about – this virus, if there was a more contamination possible place with all the mass transit that is in place in that city, you know, from subways to trains to buses and all that, I mean, everyone was packed in there like sardines to start with. So you understand to get going without knowing much about what was happening. Yeah, okay. That's about the worst spot in the world you want to be is on a subway train in New York City. But as it's gone along, everyone else, you know, some people have interpreted the data one way and some have interpreted it the other way. And there's no doubt that those two places have interpreted the data very similarly in the way that they've dealt with and imposed sanctions and mandates on the citizens that they've got there, including these NBA players. Now, here's Andrew Wiggins to start talking about his situation and how he feels, you know, almost pressure from teammates and everybody around him.
Back is definitely, you know, against the wall. But I'm just going to keep fighting for what I believe. Back.
I mean, you know, people will. But there's been that religious exemption for everybody from basically the get-go. And you couldn't see it there, but when you watch him, he is uncomfortable as it gets to be talking about that. Because, you know, I think some people throw that out there, hey, give me that religious exemption from the vaccine, just because they don't want to do it. In his situation, I think he's serious about it. That's why. And he's not very comfortable sitting there getting asked about it, almost in a demeaning fashion, like, oh, yeah, okay, religious exemption, whatever. He applied for, and it means something to him, and it's kind of just getting shoved down his throat.
Yeah, I had all these media days going on. Did anybody talk about basketball?
Not in these places. Not with anybody that talked about it. It's funny you bring that up because,
I mean, that was the hot topic, right?
It was. And on the exact opposite end of the COVID mandate spectrum is Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Orlando Magic.
Right.
And Jonathan Isaac was kind of thrown into a group of what the Rolling Stone called anti-vaxxers. With Kyrie and Wiggins and, you know, and him. And so he was asked
when
about...
When did the Rolling Stone become a medical journal?
Yeah, I don't know. But they asked him about, you know, that article and this and that in his status of vaccination. And I came away thinking, you know what? First off, this guy is very intelligent, just the way he speaks. He's done his research. He's done his homework. And maybe he ought to be the president of the United States. Listen to this.
I would start with... I've had COVID. In the past, and so our understanding of antibodies, of natural immunity has changed a great deal from the onset of the pandemic, and is still evolving. I understand that the vaccine would help if you catch COVID, and you'll be able to have less symptoms from contracting it. But with me having COVID in the past and having antibodies, with my current age group and physical fitness level, it's not necessarily a fear of mine. Taking the vaccine, like I said, it would decrease my chances of having a severe reaction, but it does open me up to the, albeit rare chance, but the possibility of having an adverse reaction to the vaccine itself. I don't believe that being unvaccinated means infected, or being vaccinated means uninfected. You can still catch COVID with or without having the vaccine. I would say, honestly, the craziness of it all in terms of not being able to say that it should be everybody's fair choice without being demeaned or talked crazy to doesn't make one comfortable to do what said person is telling them to do. I would say that's a couple of the reasons that, you know, I would say I'm hesitant at this time, but at the end of the day, I don't feel that it is, you know, anyone's reason to come out and say, well, this is why or this is not why. It should just be their decision. And, you know, loving your neighbor is not just loving those that agree with you or look like you or move in the same way that you do. It's you know, loving those who don't.
Pretty amazing statement. And honestly, there's 9 minutes of that that we couldn't play. Just different ways to ask him the same question.
Yeah.
And he was incredible answering it. He never raised his voice. He never got confrontational.
No, yeah.
He spoke.
Level-headed.
It,
I like it.
It was pretty amazing to see in this supercharged, polarizing topic that's been going on for almost 2 years now, how calmly he was able to get his point across. And right. and it was so calm, and he even mentions, you know, obviously looking at people that were looking at him asking the questions. You know, everybody had a mask, and he, you know, you guys have probably been vaccinated, and that's fine, or whatever you can do. But, you know, his personal choice was his common theme, and the freedom to make that personal choice. And then also something that's starting to gain just a little bit of traction out there, and I know good and well, Dr. Fauci's not very happy about it, but you're starting to hear, hey, wait a minute, natural immunity protects me more than the virus ever, or than the vaccine ever did. And there's study after study abroad telling you that that it's way stronger in protection. So it was pretty amazing to watch him tell that. And he also, he goes on later on, and he also is a very religious guy.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't know about Kyrie. He's never really brought that to the table, but as far as kind of these anti-vaxxer NBA players, a common theme among them has been the religious aspect of this. And, you know, in a lot of walks of life, that's been a good enough reason to not have to take the vaccine. You know, that exemption is there for a reason. I mean, it's one of the very first things when you read the Constitution is religious freedom. That's the reason, one of the main reasons. Taxation and religion is one of the main reasons we're sitting here today. And it's just pretty amazing how one of those has been pushed to the back of, to the back burner, and just society in whole, as a whole, could use a little bit more, not necessarily religion, but some faith in each other and in something that's bigger than any of us. What do you think with the protocols for the Thunder? It would be a lot better sample size if, you know, KD and Russ were on the team, as opposed to what's going on this year.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to even determine why the crowds are going to be lower, because you know good and well they're not going to be full every night.
Well, on a Tuesday night, if they're no.
It's going to be because the team's no good.
Exactly.
But how much do you think in this state, or for that team, how much do you think those protocols that are put in place by the Thunder and pretty much by the league at the end of the day will decrease the amount of participation by the fans?
I think, based on what we think, if it was a normal year, meaning no pandemic, no, nothing, none of that, based on what the team we have, I don't think it's going to matter. I really don't. I think you're still going to have diminished crowds because of the product on the court. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's not the Oklahoma Thunder. There are a lot of people. Listen, I've come to the realization since the election and in this pandemic and in starting, I mean, shoot, even way before that, Oklahoma City is a completely different animal than it is out here. There's a different way of thinking. So you can go online, you can see the comments of when they made that announcement and everyone going crazy, but majority of the fans that will go on a Tuesday night are going to abide by these said rules. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And if you really want to go, you know, people are going to do it. It just is what it is. I hate that term, but it is what it is. So, but to answer your question, I don't think it's going to, like I said, I don't think it. Now, ask me that if they have a really good team. You know, that's when they become packed all the way up in the loud city, and you start talking to your buddies and your friends like, yeah, I went to the game last night and it was a Thursday night, you know. Mm-hmm. That's not happening now. I have no desire to drive to Oklahoma City to watch the Thunder play on a Thursday or Tuesday or Wednesday night. Do you? I mean, with the product. Just answering that question for me. Just with the product on the court.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
You know, honestly,
they'd have to be like club level seats given to me. I'm like, you know what? Sounds fun. I don't care how bad they are, I'll go. You know what I mean?
Well, and honestly, this is, it's back to a little bit like it was the first season and a half before, you know, the young guys got better originally, in that you're kind of going to see the other team.
Yeah, exactly. Depends on who's in town. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if it's the Bobcats, then no. If it's the Lakers, yeah, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It just depends on who they're playing, you know, at this point in my mind. But no, on a Thursday, with everything that's going on, absolutely not. It wouldn't even cross my mind to go unless, like you said, it was like in the suite, free tickets, hanging out, watching a good team. And then you also get to enjoy, you know, SGA and maybe get to see some of the young guys for the Thunder. But
yeah,
it's just, I think it's a really interesting situation in those couple of spots. What's going to happen? I mean, you could obviously see Wiggins get traded because of this, right? Now, Kyrie's a different
animal. He's expendable.
That's what I'm, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly the right word. And you know what? Maybe Kyrie is too. Because you've already got KD and Harden. Maybe he is too. Maybe, and honestly, maybe that makes their team better, especially if you bring in the right guy, because then you don't have to have everybody with the basketball in their hands. KD's proven he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to be successful. He's proven that at Golden State in that system and playing with those guys. So if you just had a Harden and a KD and you brought in somebody, you know, a la Ben Simmons, that doesn't need it in his hands to be an effective player, maybe that makes them even a better team.
But wasn't the main reason, wasn't this team up planned beforehand? Kyrie and KD, they wanted to play together.
It was. That's the problem.
If you get rid of Kyrie, would
it
lose
KD?
Do you lose KD? Does it upset KD?
That's the problem with that theory I just put out there, because it was always Kyrie and KD wanting to play together.
Right.
Because they're boys. And it makes sense with some of the lunacy that comes out of their mouths.
To you know, a Florida team, say Miami, and KD goes with them in the offseason or something.
Yeah. I do think Ben Simmons would fit really, really well there if they could make that move. It's Wednesday, so you got to start kind of perusing around, thinking about what you're going to do, what picks you're going to make in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. Week five, isn't it? Yeah, we picked 40 games so far. So week five of the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. Andy Pepper still out on top. But you know what I noticed? A couple of guys have made some moves here after slow starts the first couple of weeks. One of those is, speaking of Western Oklahoma Realty, Tyler Harrison, Ole Miss man. He was 7 of 20 the first 2 weeks. But he's come back with a vengeance, 13 of 20 the last two. So he's sitting right exactly at 500. Possum had a down week in week three, came back with a winning week last week. Maximilian at 8 out of 10 in week three. It just goes to show you, for those of you that started late, there's still plenty of time to catch up. A 7 of 10 week, you will shoot up the rankings quickly. Because even the leader, Andrew, only got 4 of 10 last week. So he let everybody kind of open the door just a little bit for us to get back in it. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, everybody down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. So check them out for all your realty needs. Now, this week in college football, not only here in this state, but across the country, is a fantastic week. Kind of back more toward week one than what's been happening over the 3 weeks after. Bunch of games with ranked teams. We've got, what, two top 10 matchups and another top 12 with Bama and Ole Miss. You've got OU going to Kansas State, a team that's beat them both years. Chris Kleiman's been at the helm for the Wildcats. You got a ranked matchup up in Stillwater. It's a couple of 4-0 teams, Baylor and Oklahoma State. And I was telling you off the air, this is one of those back in, we'll call it the skinny single days. Heck, this would start Friday. It's Friday night at 7 o'clock. You've got Iowa, number 5 Iowa, at Maryland, who's undefeated. Maryland's already knocked off West Virginia, a team that we saw in Norman last week.
Yeah, they can move the football.
This would be a long day, let's put it that way, of college football watching, with that Arkansas-Georgia game starting at 11 all the way through until UCLA-Arizona State at 9:30. Let's start here in state, and we'll go to Manhattan, a spot that, you know, a team that Oklahoma hasn't been able to figure out since Kleiman got there. 2 years ago, up in Manhattan. It was a game that Oklahoma fell well behind. A couple of special teams blunders. Defense just could not figure out what K-State was doing. And by the time the Sooners' offense behind Jalen Hurts got cranked up, they were just a little bit too late to be able to get all the way back and come back and win that game up in Manhattan. Then last year, the Sooners started out great, 35-14 at one point. Then Deuce Vaughn got loose a couple of times, a blocked punt, some interceptions from Rattler. And next thing you know, the Sooners have blown a 21-point lead to a team that I believe was like a 24-point underdog, maybe even 27 last year at on Owen Field. So, you know, Chris Klieman is one of the few coaches in the Big 12 that's looking around going, Oklahoma, what? What does that matter?
That's right. I guess he had come out and said Skylar Thompson. No, I think
doubtful.
I think it's a cat and mouse game with that, but saying he's very doubtful for Saturday, still dealing with that leg injury. You know, the best thing about Thompson against Oklahoma was his legs. It seemed like he was always able to churn out a first down when he needed it. So I wonder, I mean, would you play him if he can't run?
See, that's
what I'm asking. I mean, is he the best of the three options he has at throwing the football? Or is this more of a long-term, further down the road thing for Klieman? Like, you know, I can't put him out there to risk him hurting his – is it a knee any more than what it is? What makes him so good is his ability to run. What makes that offense work is those called plays of him running. So I can't, but on the other hand, I can't see Klieman just conceding a loss to Oklahoma just to preserve a quarterback. I mean, this is, I don't know, but I guess my question is, I mean, if he all he can do is throw it, would you go with Thompson?
Man, he threw it great against the Sooners last year. 18 of 25 for 334, a touchdown. He only ran it for 10 yards on 9 carries.
Really? It just seemed like he ran more. Maybe it was the year before he did.
Well, now, he scored 3 touchdowns on the ground, but his longest run was 5.
Yeah.
So it was like
– he was like a belldozer type guy.
It was pass it down to the 1, and then he would run it in in that comeback for a lot of it. But, you know, a lot of times when you see these situations, depending on his health, but those, man, don't you see these guys that aren't ready physically try to give it a go? And a lot of times it backfires because they can't do what they're – it's kind of having like a wounded animal out there that just gets ran over. And if – as much as he's been awesome against Oklahoma over the past 2 years in engineering those upsets of the Sooners, I would have a hard time for me putting him out there if he's not going to be the guy that we've seen the last 2 years, if he's physically limited in what he can do. You know, I just – that would be a tough decision for me to make if I was Chris Klieman, knowing, you know, how well – Oklahoma's offense is, or defense has played pretty well outside of maybe one half against Tulane in the second half. They played pretty well all year long. Now, to your point, Thompson – 7 rushing touchdowns in the last 2 years, and he's only ran it for 49 yards.
Yeah.
You know, he's down there. You're right. He's punching it in at the goal line.
You know, the 10, it's almost just give him the touchdown because he's going to rumble his way in, you know, from anything 10 inside, you know. That's what I meant by that. But if he can't do that, or, if, you know, do you trust his arm? And that's
– yeah.
Or do you then, but you're right, and that goes back to my question of do you risk – a more devastating injury
right.
by trying to force him to play the 6th-ranked Sooners. I don't know if it's worth it.
And you wonder how much the ability to throw it is predicated off the fear of the run. You know what I'm mm-hmm. as far as keeping the defense honest yeah. and that kind of thing. So it'll be
but
interesting.
But if OU sees, you know what, he can't run it.
Then you pin your ears back.
Let's make him one-dimensional here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take out Deuce Vaughn. Take him out of the game. Like, not physically, you know what I mean. And force Kansas State to beat you with their arms.
Boy, and OSU did a great job of that last week, speaking of Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah.
13 carries, 22 yards. He did have 5 catches, 73, and that long of 55. But, you know, you take
– I think he is a better – he's more effective in, like, wheel routes or those
– oh, man. Last year
comeback
they'd,
routes, that, stuff like
last
that.
Year they'd put him in the slot, and Norman, he'd run just a little quick in, and the linebacker couldn't stay with
exactly.
him. Exactly. You know, we saw him running loose – over
more
and over.
Or less, he was not effective against OSU.
No, not – I mean, just the one – he had the one run, his long run of 7. He had the catch for 55, which was kind of a funky play the way it all worked out. I think this is a really interesting topic because we're getting, this is a bad spot for OU. I completely disagree with that. Completely. If this game was
at the topic of if this it's game, a bad spot for OU,
yes,
you disagree
I
with that.
I completely disagree. I think it would be if this game was in Norman, because I think if this game is in Norman and the first offensive possession went bad, the natives would be unbelievably restless. But because it's on the road, I think it's a blessing that this game is on the road for Oklahoma. This is a chance for those guys to get away from all the turmoil and everything that happened, you know, last week with the crowd and the chanting of Williams and all that stuff. I think this is a chance to kind of get in their own little cocoon, galvanize themselves for a trip up to Manhattan to show everybody, listen, that's not us. And I think it's a huge blessing for this game to be in Manhattan and not in Norman, especially with what's coming up next week down in Dallas. So
completely agree.
I don't think it's that bad a spot for Oklahoma.
No, I completely.
Everything else kind of is, but without knowing the health of Thompson, with it looking like he's not going to play, then this is a chance. And we'll see. Now, if it doesn't go that way, then we're quit talking about Oklahoma as a good team. We're done, because first off,
if it's the same old,
they're going right. to go down and get blown out by Texas in the Cotton Bowl, and then we'll see. I think all the normal pitfalls of the week before the Texas game aren't in play because of how bad they've played so far, especially offensively.
Yeah,
and so there's no reason to be that look ahead, because they haven't played well enough to go beat Kansas State yet.
Right.
So I think if you're a Sooner fan, I think it's a good spot for Oklahoma.
No, that's funny
one.
You say that, because I was having that conversation yesterday about, you know, and I'm hearing the same talk of that they're in a bad spot. This is horrible. They're on the road against a Kansas State team they can't beat. I'm with you, man. I disagree. I think this is a great spot. I mean, what brings a team together? I mean, you hear about the road trips, and you're right. Getting out of Norman, getting to a hotel room and Manhattan, Kansas, and going through the whole team drills and all that stuff, the routines, the dinners, the breakfasts, all that stuff. I think it's a perfect situation for them. If only they would leave their phones behind, that'd be 100% perfect. Ironically, I think the booing and the talk in a weird way could you're seeing it, you know, in front of your face with the talk on the press conferences and the social media, but could you see it making this, like, bringing the team together?
Sure.
Because they're all kind of rallying around Rattler. Mm-hmm.
That's the one positive I think that you're seeing, is there's a lot of rallying around him. Now, how much of that is lip service
exactly.
on social media, and how much of it is real? We're going to find out. You know, that's the question. How many football teams play better on the road than at home? A bunch of them have.
Oh, absolutely.
Throughout the years, because it gets you away from the distraction. That comes along with, you know, family in town, girlfriend here, da 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 da.
I mean, shoot, OU was one of them. Wasn't there a streak under Bob? There true road games?
Tons of true road games in a row.
In a row? Yeah.
Up in Stillwater, I think this is a fascinating matchup. Oklahoma State and Baylor. Baylor coming off the upset win over Iowa State last week, kind of put them on the map.
Well,
and here's the thing about that game. When you look at the stats, and I realize the scoreboard isn't the stats, but when you look at the stats, Iowa State dominated that game, almost outgaining Baylor by 200 yards. Mm. But Baylor had a kick return. There was an interception thrown by Purdy. And so that kind of made up the difference between the Cyclones and the Bears. But Iowa State ran it all over Baylor, 216 yards. You know, this is just a game that, you know, Iowa State almost had double the first downs, 27-15. When you look at what happened, they had the ball 36-24. All the things on the stat sheet would lead you to believe Iowa State won this game and by a decent margin. And instead, they lost 31-29. So, you know, Baylor's coming in undefeated. Bohan in the quarterback only threw it for 159. They only ran it for 123. I mean, the offensive stats aren't there in that upset of Iowa State for Baylor. This feels like a spot that Oklahoma State doesn't necessarily just blow them out, but I think the Cowboys have a really good shot at winning this game pretty comfortably in that 10 to 14 point range up there on, in Stillwater on Friday or on Saturday night.
I think it's going to be closer, honestly. I really do. I think Baylor is better than what I guess they're getting credit for. They are ranked 21st, but I think we kind of knew, we saw kind of what they were at the end of last year, and that was an impressive win to me. In my eyes, it was an impressive win. The way they started against Iowa State, what were they up, 21-7 at one point?
Yeah, I think so, 21-7 early.
Yeah. And for them to hold on, I don't know. I think it's going to be closer than that. I'm not ready to say who I think will win. Ask me on Friday. But I think it'll be a lot closer than what you think.
Interesting.
Do you think Baylor, do you think their fans were, when they were up 21-7 and then here comes Iowa State kind of chipping away at it, do you think they went back to that OU game and go, oh, here we go again?
No.
Wasn't as big of a lead.
No. And, you know, when it got really close at 21-16, that's when the kickoff return happened. So then it was,
yeah.
Then it's 28. You know, it gives you a little bit of a.
Yeah, there was, it, they didn't go completely in a shell.
That's right. Yeah, and that kickoff return was huge just right there in the middle of the third quarter when Iowa State had chipped down from 21-7 to 21-16 and then taking that kick back. It just enough breathing room, I think, with the way that game went. But Iowa State dominated that game. And they just didn't win
right
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Around the country, really good matchups. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. Arkansas going to Georgia. Arkansas is kind of the Cinderella team so far this year.
That SEC game's at 11 a.m.
Well, here's the problem.
Well, Norman burned down the first time they get an 11 a.m. game when they're with an SEC patch on their shoulder.
It happens. See, the only difference is it doesn't normally happen to the marquee team in a marquee game. Listen, before the season started, ain't a soul thought Arkansas was going to be number 8.
That's
heading into Athens this week at 4-0, but they are.
Is it noon in Athens at that time?
Yes, yeah. So it's a noon start.
Okay.
So noon start there between number 2 and number 8. That's Georgia and Arkansas. I personally don't give Arkansas much of a chance in this one, but kudos to the Hogs so far. You can make the case that with what they've done on the field, take away preseason rankings and all that, you can make the case that Arkansas ought to be the number one team in the country with the wins that they've got over Texas.
Quality
and Texas
wins,
A&M.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. I completely agree. But Georgia is a completely different animal.
Yes, they are. Sneaky good one. In a spot, speaking of bad spots, if you're Michigan – going into Madison, Wisconsin this week against a 1-2 Badger team that no one thought was going to be that. You know, this was one of those.
Me included.
This is one of those, hey, you know, is Michigan going to be limping into Madison, Wisconsin this week? Instead, it's the other way around with number 14 Michigan at Wisconsin. This looks like the lights are just flashing upset to me there in Madison.
That's going to be my next question is, you know, we can get to that later, but who do you have on upset alert? I think I got my answer. You think it's Michigan?
And maybe Iowa, too, on that Friday night.
I got one.
In College Park, Maryland, with Iowa at Maryland. Here's I kind of alluded to this question yesterday, and I want to ask it right now. At 1:30 in South Bend, it's Cincinnati, number 7, against number 9, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams undefeated. Is this the biggest game for a mid-major since the BCS started? I'm talking about 1998 when it was a 1-2, computers and all, making that game, right? So that's the first time that there was actually a national title game every year, guaranteed. Is this the biggest game a mid-major has ever played in since 1998, the Cincinnati game at Notre Dame?
No, without looking back, I'd say yes. I'd have to think about it or do some homework on it. But because it's in South Bend.
And because Cincinnati played well last year, took Georgia right down to it in that bowl game, and now start out undefeated. You win at Indiana, who's not as good as we thought, but they were ranked when they beat them. And now you've got this game against Notre Dame. Cincinnati, if they can win this game, I think for the first time ever, there will be actual, real consideration for them to get in the playoff. Like real consideration,
yeah.
Not just fake stuff and, hey, we'll put you in the top 10 because it's a cute little story, UCF. I think they backed up a great season with possibly another one. And they scheduled just exactly like you want them to. A couple of
that's
big,
all I ask for
on the road too. Yeah. That's the thing, on the road with a Big Ten opponent and now Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I ask for about the mid majors is you can beat your chest all you want by beating up little guys and going undefeated. Schedule the big boys. And that's what Cincinnati's done. Now go prove it. And what's odd is they are a favorite going into this one, slight 2-point favorite.
That's pretty amazing.
South Bend was the last time something like that's happened. I mean, I'm sure there's been opponents that come into South Bend and been favorites, but a team like Cincinnati, little old Cincinnati, yeah, that'll be a fun one. That'll be one of those games that answers a lot of questions, right? That's kind of been a theme this year. Still got a lot of questions about this year.
Ole Miss,
that'll be one of, but I'm with you on the Cincinnati, yeah, on the thought process of, you know, yeah, that's great. You're undefeated. And Indiana, I mean, shoot, they had to come back and beat them. And Indiana doesn't look like Indiana of last year. Go beat Notre Dame, and then I'm going to start taking you seriously.
Ole Miss at Bama.
Same thing. Go beat Alabama, and I'll start taking you seriously, Ole Miss.
I mean, Ole Miss is a very good team, very good offensive team. Bama, you know, man, it's amazing how much a half of football kind of changed the perception a little bit of Bama.
Right.
Because in the first half, they went down into the swamp at Gainesville, and it felt like, okay, here comes another 42-10 whipping that Bama's going to put on a ranked team that just doesn't have the horses. And then all of a sudden, 31-29 final, and you start to kind of scratch your head and go, oh, maybe Bama isn't invincible. That one fascinates me to see, because I really think that there's another chink in the Bama armor, even if they win, but it's like 48-45.
Right.
If Ole Miss runs up and down the field on them. Now, if they strangle that offense and they were able to win like 28-10, see, to me, 28-10 or heck, even 21-10 is a way more impressive win for Alabama,
yeah,
than 48-45 or 48-41 or whatever it might be. In the SEC, there's still the all-Tiger matchup in LSU with Auburn and LSU. The nightcap, Arizona at UCLA. That one looks fun. There's just a ton of fun games that we can continue to talk about. Heck, even Florida, Kentucky. Everybody's high on Florida. I'm high on Florida as a one-loss team, mainly because of the loss to Alabama. You know, that's like the best thing they've done is lose to Alabama. Kentucky's 4-0.
Ohio State, Rutgers. Even
Ohio State, Rutgers,
some,
yes.
Has some interest for me. And my upset pick of the week, if we're doing that, is Mississippi State over A&M.
Really?
I do think they'll go in there and –
A&M coming off a little bit of the hangover from that loss to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Any chance for Stanford against Oregon at home?
Slim.
I mean, they got pounded by UCLA last week.
Stanford?
Yes. After whipping you, after changing court coaches at USC.
Stanford is so hard to figure out.
They really are.
They got whipped by Kansas State. They go and beat SC.
Whip USC.
And then UCLA smoked them. Whips them. Is this the week they wake up and maybe they whip on Oregon? I don't know.
This is the up week. Watch out Friday night. I'm telling you. I can't remember how to say his first name with the other Tungavaloa at Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
It's
his
brother's the quarterback.
That's right.
His brother.
That's right.
Watch out.
That is correct.
Friday night and the snake pit at College Park, Maryland. Look out. I was a Hawkeye. So Gary Patterson, boy, he's upset. Probably more upset about losing to SMU and having to get rid of the skillet, the iron skillet, to the Mustangs. But yeah, he has ripped SMU. Here's the problem. Jerry Kill. Remember Jerry Kill? You know who he is?
I do. He was at Minnesota.
That's right. And he's got seizures. You know, he would have seizures on the field as the head coach at Minnesota. So he's down as an assistant, a special assistant at TCU. I guess after the game, one of the SMU players wanted to go plant the flag in the middle of the field at Amon G. Carter Stadium. Jerry Kill got kind of in the melee or in the middle of everything, was knocked down and given a concussion and had to go to the hospital. Well, Gary Patterson obviously upset about that. Now claims that because SMU had some of their video people on the field, that this was a preconceived flag planting and not just something that happened on the, at the spur of the moment after the game. SMU has come out and vehemently denied that through their athletic director, Rick Hart, basically calling Patterson an idiot for even insinuating that. And so it's been kind of a little bit of a war of words here from after the game on Saturday, even through the middle of this week, still kind of going on between those two schools. You know, this is a, I understand because of who it was.
Sounds like Big 12 should have invited SMU into the conference to keep this rivalry going.
I you know, I understand because of who it was that got knocked down in his medical history and in that.
Sure, he's protecting his guy.
I totally get that. Yeah. But this is also just another it's there. Man, it seems like when it comes to whininess of Big 12 coaches, it's almost always Gary Patterson that's involved somehow in being a little bit of a whiner.
Yeah. He just needs to learn to – he needs to be Elsa here and just let it go. You lost. Let it go. But I agree. I'd be – I mean, honestly, at home, if it was premeditated and they had this plan, okay, get the cameras over there. Here comes the flag. I mean, you know, clearly that was something they planned maybe even before the game. If we win – this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, but it's not planned because they're shooting one of those ESPN Plus series.
Oh, they are?
Yeah,
oh,
SMU is. SMU's shooting one of those.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, and okay. So they've got their all people, you know, following all the actions
kind of
throughout
the
week.
Like OSU did
exactly.
Last year.
Yeah, I got you.
I got you.
Yeah, it's called the Hilltop. And so, you know, they've got all those people trying to fill content for an hour show every week. Mm-hmm. And so, they're following what's happening. After the game, during the game, or whatever.
Well, it definitely fuels it for the players. Like, hey, the cameras are here.
Yeah, it might.
ESPN's here with our show. Let's do something to get noticed.
I'm not telling you that the players might not have talked about it. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But to make it a school-wide conspiracy.
That ESPN went, hey, if you win, maybe you should do this.
And that everybody on the SMU side was totally in on it. And yeah, man, we're going to watch this. Oh, that did not happen.
I don't think stuff like that. Like you're saying, I get it. It's a lot of it is spur of the moment, you know,
and the truth,
in the heat of victory, I guess,
right?
Whatever.
And Sonny Dykes,
it's kind of like what Baker, you know, I don't think he went into the Columbus thinking, if I win, I'm going to grab the flag and plant it. It just happened.
Sonny Dykes wasn't even aware of it. Like when they ask him immediately following the game, he's kind of looking around like, what? What happened? What? You know, and you'd think if it was a all SMU that he'd clearly be in the know. But it's kind of on brand for Gary Patterson to get his tail kicked and then whine about it.
And whine. Yeah.
I mean. And by the way, Gary, instead of worrying about a flag plant, where the hell'd your defense go, bro?
Yeah.
350 on the ground against TCU? That's unheard of.
Speaking of those mid-majors, SMU might be sneaky good.
Look out. Tanner Mordecai.
Greg Calcaterra.
And apparently a great offensive line to run it down TCU's throat.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.